right, let's go ahead and get started. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made, Lord God. We thank you right now, Lord God, for apostolic government and for the anointing of God upon this ministry, Lord God, upon this school. We thank you for our apostle, Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., and we thank you for the wisdom and the insight, Lord God. We thank you for apostolic government upon our lives, Lord God. We just give you all the praise and all the glory for what you're doing in our lives, ministry-wise and personal-wise. We thank you, Lord God, that we have our wealth and we're taking our health back in Jesus' name. And we thank you for the full package, Lord God, so that we can serve you, Lord God, without any hindrances in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, last week we started on the topic of how to reap rewards of honor. And I told you there were seven steps in reaping those rewards. We talked last week on being called, being commissioned. And this week we'll be talking on being competent, conduct, continuity, confidence, and control. All of these aspects will help you to reap the rewards of honor. So the third way to produce or to reap the rewards of honor is you must be competent. In the book of Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 and verse 14. It says, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the words of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, are mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And that's Hebrews 5, starting at verse 13. Now, in that scripture, it talks about, you know, those people who are on milk are unskillful in the words of righteousness. The third aspect of reaping the rewards of honor is being competent. And we need to grow up in the things of God and be competent in our area of ministry so that here in this scripture says by reason of use our senses can be exercised and we be able to discern good and evil or be able to just discern and have the wisdom of God in any particular situation. That's so very important. Another scripture says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, I reasoned as a child. But now that we are adults," he says, "I put childish things away." One of the things Apostle has been teaching us last couple of months is we've been having maturity classes about maturing up into the things of God. And in order to reap the rewards of honor, we must be mature saints. And know how to be competent in our gift, confident in what I call excellence in ministry in every aspect of your life. To be competent in ministry and to build honor, we must put away, as I stated earlier, childish things and walk in spiritual maturity, growing up in Christ in all things. How can God give us strong spiritual meat if we're still sucking on milk spiritually from a bottle? We have to go and grow and develop spiritually and mature so that we can be an asset to the kingdom of God. I remember coming up some 20, 25 years ago when Apostle, and I probably shared this because as I stated many times before, I repeat a lot, but God will bring situations back to me. Hadn't really done a whole lot of ministering at that time, but Apostle had me in his office and he called me into prison ministry. And one of the things he told me, he says, you need to begin to exercise your gift. You know, going back to the scripture, which talks about, you know, exercising, you know, your senses, exercising, you know, and developing something so that you can be competent in it. When you know you have a call or a gift that God has placed in your life, it's so very important that opportunities present themselves so you can develop in those areas. Because when you're undeveloped and you go out to do ministry or to do whatever it is, let me give you an example. Say a person who's anointed in the area of song, And they have a gift of God, and they, you know, but if they're not mature, what can happen is people can exploit that gift. And what I mean by exploiting it, they can come and they can tell you how talented, how gifted you are. And if you don't know how to take that praise and give it back to God, it'll cause your head to swell. And all of a sudden now, you know, there'll be people say, well, can you come and sing at our ministry or do this program? And, you know, we'll give you this amount of money or whatever. And so now you become a hireling instead of somebody gifted of God, you know, or just get to the point where your ego gets so big, because you need to recognize that every good gift and every perfect gift coming down from the Father of lights, where there's no variableness and no shadow of turning. And whenever somebody tells me, Brother Calvin, you did, I really enjoyed your ministry, I really enjoyed what you shared, I say, you know, I just give God all the glory, because just like the Apostle Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And mature people know how to give God the praise that he so readily deserves. You know, but an immature person, you got to be careful. And this in any area of ministry or any talent you have, you know, you recognize if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be in this position. You know, so that's where that maturity, an aspect of that maturity comes in. Okay. We then develop the kinds of programs, you know, that sharpen the giftedness of individuals and then minister into their strengths. If you do not minister into their strength and develop their weaknesses in moments of pressure, their incompetency can release dishonor. You know, and that's something like, when I said areas of this incompetence where you don't know how to respond properly. One of the things I've learned to do over the years is to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. In a situation where I might be confronted with something, I may not have the answer, but I said, Lord, I know you got the answer. So I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. One of the key elements, I guess, in my life in ministry that really helped me was knowing how to be led by the Spirit of God and how to hear the voice of God. That's so very vital, because God will speak to your heart. He will speak to you, you know, and give you information, give you direction, give you wisdom. But if you blurt out something or if you say something and not first get his guidance, a lot of times it might be you speaking and not him. You know, so in a situation, I was in an area where I was ministering to a couple months or so ago, and things weren't looking good. And I'm saying, Lord, you got to give me something. You got to give me something, because they were separated and talking about divorce. And then the Lord started to tell them that you know, they need to begin to compliment one another in what each other does well, what they like, instead of magnifying on your negatives, what you don't like, how this person rubbed you the wrong way. When they do something that you appreciate, let them know right then and there. I say, that's going to build trust and confidence in the relationship. And you need to take baby steps, you know, and every week go back and evaluate what was good about our relationship. And then those things that might have not been as good, what can we do to correct them and to make them better? You know, because there's always the little foxes that small the vine. And all of a sudden, the countenance on both of them changed. And, you know, they came there, coming from separate locations. In other words, one person moved out, both people had moved out. And then when they left, they went back home, you know, but it was the wisdom of God. You know, I can't take credit for it, because I didn't know what to do. I didn't. And see, that's the beauty of it. When you don't know what to do, you know, Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. Give me some wisdom. And see that comes with maturity. That comes with being quick to hear, not hear what you're saying, but hear what he's saying. You know, slow to speak, because I want to get firm and precise direction. And then the script says, and slow to wrath. But at the same time, when you hear that, and if you minister to other people, it just dispels. I mean, it was yeah, 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 but yeah, yeah, yeah. And all of a sudden, yeah, that make, oh, yeah, We can do this, you know, and things worked out. But that all comes with being competent in ministry. Every individual has been endowed with gifts, you know, but at the same time, inherent in each one of us are weaknesses, inadequacies, and levels of incompetence, limitation and lack and frailties in our own abilities, vulnerabilities in our own selves. To those inadequacies, we need to build protection for individuals and develop accountability structures and systems for success for upcoming ministry. This is something that the author talked about in the book, and that's why in every area of ministry, there's always somebody who's over a particular area. I know in prison ministry, when we get new prison ministers, you know, I don't initially let them just go out and minister. I just let them sit down, listen, watch, and learn. And then we might let them introduce the ministry, get up behind the pulpit and share some things, you know. And you know, once they do that well and just kind of watch and listen and learn, and then we may let them share a little bit. And one of the things I always, because it was done this way with me, after we would minister, we'd go and maybe have lunch together. And then we discuss how things went and, you know, what happened well, what didn't happen as well. And we learned from those experiences. And that was all training and development, you know. I see we don't have many people here today from World Changers, do we? Anybody? But anyway, okay. And I never forget. Me and this one brother, I'm going to say this, we're going to move on. But we went to lunch, and this, how can I say this, getting back to competence. But sometimes a person can be so zealous, they want to just witness to everybody. And there was these two people standing out in front of IHOP, and they were just talking, you know. And me and the brother was walking into the, going to the restaurant, and he said, Brother Greg. I said, what? He said, I believe them two guys there that need to be witnessed to be saved. I said, you think so? He said, yeah. I said, I think God is leading us, sister. And I'm looking, and I'm not feeling nothing, you know. And so I said, well, if you feel that way, let's, you know, I'm going to just, you know, let you go. You know, it was a learning experience. I didn't know who they were, you know. And so he went up to them and started witnessing to them and, you know, and telling them about Jesus, how they need to be saved. And if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. And, you know, and just, you know, just witnessing to them. And then he said, do you guys belong to a church? I said, yeah, we're part of World Changers. That time, you know, Pastor Jeffrey Phillips. And I said, I know they say. You know, and I said, yeah, well, we pause Dr. Tony, we all connected. So we hugged, you know, but it was, you know, if he would have just kind of listened, you know, because a lot of times God will tell you, you know, he'll tell you, you know, when the right time to witness, you know, but sometimes person can just be overzealous, you know. So I just let him go, and I didn't know, but it was just kind of funny to me when I said, of all churches. And then I think two of the guys, one of them was actually a student in the School of Ministry recently. So, you know, but it was just, but getting back to, you know, being quick to hear, Lord, what are you saying? What are you actually saying? You know, there have been times when the Lord has spoke to my heart about something, and it might have been years later, but all of a sudden, because I adhered to what he said, the outcome turned different because I took heed to what he said instead of going on an instinct by listening to him and tucking that away in my heart. And that's so very important. So let's move on. All right. Let's go to number five. The fifth way of developing honor, maintaining continuity, the fifth way to build honor. The fifth way to build honor is to maintain continuity, keeping the process of ministry flowing and moving forward from God, not from God, moving forward in the things of God are what your man of God has already started. You know, moving forward is keeping the continuity is like a current of electricity flowing through a wire. As long as there's nothing to cut off that current, there's continuity where that power is flowing. When you want to keep continuity or continuation in ministry, Paul says, you know, that he that had begun a good work in us will continue to perform it until the day of Christ. In other words, whatever your pastor, your man of God has started, there needs to be a continuity in ministry where it's passed on from one generation to the next. You know, you never really want to reinvent the wheel. You know, a lot of times when the head of a ministry goes home to be with the Lord, a lot of times those ministries crumble because people weren't trained and developed in ministry to the point of, okay, now we need to carry, you know, the torch has been passed on. We need to continue to keep that torch moving forward and not try to reinvent the wheel. You know, take what we have learned and move forward from that point. In 2 Timothy 4 and 2, it says, preach the word, be in season and out of season, reproof, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Constantly preaching the word and continuing in the things that you've been taught. You know, you develop honor when you can carry on the work that somebody else started. I remember the guy who started prison ministry. He went home to be with the Lord. But by watching and following him, you know, I was able to, once the torch was passed on, I was able to continue. And one of the things about the continuation, you know, the pace, in a sense, should need to be picked up to where now it's advancing at a greater degree because you've learned and now God is showing you more because there's no end to what God, his knowledge and his wisdom, and God, you know, there's always increase. And when you're talking about continuation, it's continuing. Matter of fact, we're going to go to this scripture here, and you need to remember this scripture. And if you don't know this scripture, you're not a member of Word of Life or not a part of this covenant, because you should know Acts 6 and 7. That should be, because that's part of our vision statement. It says, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied, and a great company of priests became obedient to the faith. You know, the word of God, see, there's always should be an increase in continuation, you know, an increase, you know, because God is ever expanding, ever as we submit properly, there should be an increase. You know, the word of God should increase and the number of disciples multiply. I've seen that happen in this ministry. I've seen this happen in ministry, not just locally, but worldwide, how the word of God has increased. You know, and how a great company of priests, people who God has called to do various things in ministry, because of one man's obedience to God, a great company of priests now become obedient to the faith. I was one of those priests, because even though, like I said before, I knew there was a call, I was still on the fence whether or not I wanted to pick up the phone or not. You know, be honest with you. But when I came in contact with Apostle, he put the phone in my ear and told me, you need to answer this call. I'm just pretty much what he told me. He said, son, you got a call on your life, and I want you to begin now to step out and begin to, you know, do ministry so that you can begin to develop your gift, you know, being competent, you know. And because of that, now I can see when other people come and become a part, I see that continuation, that continuity continuing to flow. Another scripture that's very important, Acts 20 and 28. It says to take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and unto all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you an overseer, to feed the church of God, which he've purchased with his own blood. Ministries and ministries of help workers need to understand the importance of the continuity of continuation of a generational anointing. Our generational legacy. We don't want to have to reinvent the wheel any longer. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Paul, the God of Apostle Thompson wants us to continue to keep the legacy going, to keep the flow of anointing going to the next generation. And that's so very important. That's so very important. We can't underestimate and underlook that, because the torch is being passed to us, especially those in the younger generation. I've seen, like I said, ministries fold up and die because nobody took the torch and ran with it, you know. And it's as something that has to be taught, you know, as something that has to be instilled in people. You know, even in the natural, you want your children to exceed and outdo you. You know, I just got off the phone talking to my daughter when I was in the parking lot. She called me en route. You know, her job is sending her to Amsterdam for some training. And her and her husband are going to spend a week in Amsterdam. You know, I've never been there before in my life. You know, she just came back from Utah doing some skiing in Utah. You know, and now next week she's going to be out of the country in Amsterdam. You know, my son's traveling all over Florida doing filming. I started off doing wedding videos, and now he's making commercials and stuff, you know. But it's advancing, you know. And just like a parent want their kids to my dad used to always say, you need to do a little bit better than I did, you know, because you have my knowledge plus you're learning knowledge, so you need to build on what I've the foundation that I've laid, you know. Spiritually, we need to build on our man of God, our men of God and women foundation, and build upon it and keep that continuity going. Amen? Amen. All right. Let me move on. And basically, this is what I just said, but you need to know this. Any good spiritual father always wants their children to be able to take the torch of ministry and advance it further than they could. They now begin to build upon the foundation that their father has laid, carrying on the legacy and building upon the foundation of their father for the next generation. God is always a God of multiple generations, generational blessings. In fact, the most consistently successful financial dynasties in the world can be attributed to generational vision, planning, strategies, and a commitment to adhere to those goals and plans. And then I have under that, don't let the vision die. You know the vision and keep that vision alive. You know, because as the scripture says in Habakkuk 2 and 4, the vision is yet for an appointed time. You know, but when that time comes, it will speak and it will not lie. You know, though it tarry, wait on it, because it shall surely come to pass. I mean, to see the vision that's happening here at Word of Life come to pass that our 25 years ago was talked about, to see it manifest, it boggles me, because, you know, worldwide ministry, I'll be traveling to North Carolina this Thursday because the ministry is going there, you know, just the churches and the people and the ministers that are submitted to the ministry, you know, all a part of the vision, you know. And I remember years ago when I was at a camp meeting at Kenneth Hagin some 20 years ago, and the Holy Spirit told me to look around and see what's taking place in Tulsa. And he said, what you see here in Tulsa, he said, I'll do it in Darrell. And to see that manifest is a continuation of legacy. Amen. All right, let me move on. All right, so we're going now to, let's see, let me make sure I'm catching everything. Okay, that was continually. And so now we're going to go on to being, seems like I'm missing one.
Yes, number four.
Okay, I think I got them out of order. Well, I'll just go in the order I have here. I think we're going to cover them all. But the next one I have is being confident. And we'll get to conduct. I think that's the one that I'm missing. Being confident. Let me make sure, because it seemed like it was. I make sure I'm not skipping a page somewhere. Yeah, I am. Okay, the fourth one is because I want to make sure I was keeping my notes in the right order. The fourth way to build honor is to have good conduct. And that can't be understated, not at all. In Ephesians 5:3-4, I think this is the King James Version. It says, but fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, let that not be named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor gesturing, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Now the Amplified Version of that says, this is Ephesians 5, 3 and 5. But immorality, sexual vice, and all impurities of lustful, rich, wasteful living, and greediness must not even be named among you as a fitting, proper among saints of God, God's concentrated people. Then it goes on to say, let there be no filthiness, no obscenity, no indecency, or foolish and sinful, silly and corrupt talk, nor coarse gesturing, which are not fitting or becoming, but rather voice your thanksgiving to God. For be sure of this, that no person practicing sexual vice or impurity in thought or in life, or one who has covetousness, who has lustful desires for the property of others and the greed and gain, for he is in effect in idolatry, and doesn't have any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Proper conduct is so very important because it is tacked onto your character and to who you are. One thing I've learned over the years that as a minister, you're going to be attacked, but you got to be recognizing that God is always going to get you out of a jam, you know, when you rely on him. And it's so very important that, you know, we keep our conduct above board, above reproach. You know, the husband of one wife, you know, been married for over 37 years, just celebrated my 37th anniversary back on the 30th of January. You know, God's blessed. You know, have there been attacks? Have there been challenges? Yes. But the Lord has always delivered us out of them all, you know, because when you're ministering to people, it's so very important that your life is intact, because you can't rightfully minister in certain areas if you're in bondage in that area. But when you got that freedom, or God has delivered you and you're in a position now where you can minister in, and that's why Apostle can talk so freely about so many different subjects, because you know, they don't have him. You know, ministers who are in, you know, sexual vice and pornography, and they can't talk about that because it'll bring heaps of fire up on their own selves, because how can you minister something and you in it? You know, it can't happen. But when you are walking upright, you bring honor to God, you know, and now you can become more of a blessing. It says here in 1 Kings 3 and 9, it says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. This is talking about David, that thou might judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? It's so very important that we ask God, you know, pray and ask God to give us that wisdom, that understanding. You know, like I said, you know, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. God will always answer when you call. You know, it's very important to ask God for spiritual discernment and wisdom so you can discern people's motives. There have been times, I'll share this and then we'll move on, where the Lord would just all of a sudden, I remember this one, I know I shared this before probably. I was in Tulsa and I would get up every morning and I would walk around the Tulsa Convention Center during the time Kenan Hagin was having his camp meetings. And I would just go and pray in the Holy Spirit just to get ready for the meeting. And I guess around about my second lap of walking around the building and the parking lot, which is about a mile and a half walk, the Holy Spirit spoke a person's name in my heart and told me to keep my distance. And it was a female. He said, keep your distance from so-and-so. And I'm saying, you know, for what, you know? And it's just nothing there. And I just Okay, I knew it was God, so I just tucked it away in my spirit. And that individual was at the meeting that time. And I began to see subtle advances from that day, from that very day. You know, up until the time they left the ministry. You know, it was, you know, but I remember what the Lord told me. And every time the advance would come, I would back away because I knew the motive wasn't right. You know, but the Holy Spirit had already warned me. I can go into more detail than that, but that's what I mean about spiritual discernment. That's why it's so important to pray in the Holy Ghost, because when you want to, because see, it's so easy. And I've seen, I have friends, people who I started out with, who got tripped up in those areas and fell in the ditch because they didn't have proper discernment when the storm came, you know, and blew them away. You know, and now, you know, their ministry is shambled because, you know, the conduct wasn't there. The proper good conduct wasn't there. But anyway, that's so very important. Amen. All right. And we already talked about the continuity because that's where I skipped. OK, so now we're going to go to number six. I got 9 minutes left. I'm doing good. Being confident. Being confident. You have to be confident in ministry. You know, in order to reap the rewards of honor, there's got to be a bold confidence, you know, and it's not a confidence in your own ability, but it's a confidence in his ability. All right. It says in 1 John 3, verses 21 through 22, it says, "Beloved, if your hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God and not ourselves. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." You know, and if your heart's condemned, and you see, when your heart is not in condemnation because of wrongful things, you can have confidence towards God, you know, because there's nothing that's hindering your confidence, you know, because Satan will try to bring condemnation that'll keep you from walking in confidence toward God. Because the next thing is, well, how can God, you know, be with me if because of this condemnation? And that's why I always tell people to be quick to repent, quick to repent. If you mess up, go to God and repent, you know, and get out of it, get out of that thing and get back in the will of God, get back in right standing with God. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will continue to perform it until the day of Christ." You know, that's a confidence. What God started in you, and the thing about it, it might have been years that there was no productivity. And it's almost like you said, "Lord, it seemed like I've been spinning my wheels and I'm like a car that's going around," you know. But he said, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will continue to perform it." But all you got to do is just continue to yield to God. And I always define the word yield as giving God the right of way, giving God the right way. "Lord, I'm giving you the right of way in my life, and lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake." You know, even though I might be walking in the valley of the shadow of death, I expect you to lead me in the path of righteousness. What do you want me to do? And I want every step that I take to be ordained of you. And when you have that, you know, that type of persistence and that confidence, God is going to lead you and guide you where he desires for you to be in life so that you can be maximum benefit to the kingdom of God. Another scripture, Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. I don't know if I'm going to read all of it, but it says, "But I would ye understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." This is Paul speaking. He says, "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in every palace and in all the places. And many of the brethren in the Lord wax confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Now, I'm going to just stop there. He said, because of the things that I, Paul said, that I've encountered and because of my testimony, now other people are able to wax strong in confidence, because a lot of times your life can be a testimony to other people. because they know what you've been through or what you're going through. But when they see you come out of it and you give glory to God, you're actually building honor because you're honoring God. And it'll help other people. Hey, if he can do it, I know I can do it. There was a brother not long ago. I always made the statement. In fact, I was talking with Reverend Gautreaux a few minutes ago, and I remember an apostle told me, he said, I want you to watch that man, you know, just keep your eyes on him because he's faithful. And there was a brother came up to me, says, I got my eyes on you, you know, and because he heard me make that statement, you know, but getting back, you know, because of a confidence in moving on in the things of God, people see it. And Paul says that, I'm going to read this again. He says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifested in every place and in all the places, as many as of the brethren in the Lord wax confident by my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Why? Because they saw something and it encouraged them. And there should be a confidence in that. Let me move on because my time is well spent. Let's see. Okay, this is something important. Our confidence is not in our own ability, and I stated that earlier, but our confidence must rest in the fact that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us and empowers us. Our confidence is not in our own ability, but it's in the fact that we can do all things through Christ. You know, my ability is limited, my human ability, but in Christ, my potential and my ability is unlimited because I'm relying upon him. He's my confidence. My confidence is in him. Amen. All right. Another important scripture, Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. One of my favorite scriptures. It says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Never cast away your confidence, you know, because it has great recompense of reward. But you might just have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, that you might receive the promise, you know, because God is always working on your behalf. Amen. All right. With 3 minutes left, number seven, exercise and self-control. Your spirit man needs to be in control at all times. But the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. This is Galatians 5, 22 and 25 through 25. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, against such as no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh in the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's so very important, walking in the Spirit. So, so very important that we walk in the Spirit. Another scripture that I want to give you is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. He said, this is Paul speaking. I keep my body under and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself also be a castaway. In other words, keeping your body under control. You know, your spirit man should be in control at all times. And your soul needs to be lined up according to the scriptures with your spirit. And your body is going to automatically fall in line. When your soul and your spirit are in alignment, your body is going to have to follow suit. You know, I've seen that happen in my life many times where, you know, the body wanted to go one way, but my spirit man said no. My soul got in agreement with what my spirit already knew, and my body just had to follow suit. You know, that's so very important. One thing we got to recognize, Jesus gave himself as a gift. Once we develop these kinds of individuals and these kinds of ministries, we have entered the process of sowing and honor seed by doing all of these things, these seven things. When Jesus came, he came as a gift. He came as an honor seed. This was his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, I'm going to honor you your will and submit to it totally. Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. And you see, when you do that, you're saying, Lord, I just want you to have your way in my life. I yield and I give you the right of way to use me in any and every capacity that you want to use me for. You know, when you're driving in traffic and you yield, you give that other car the right of way and they go first. Well, Lord, I want you to lead the way and I'm just following you. I'm just following you. There was a song by a group called the Imperials years ago. I'm just following you, Lord. You know, I just want you to lead the way. Lead the way. You know, and Jesus was an honor seed because he sold himself. He sold himself. And by him sowing himself, it produced a harvest of multitudes, millions and trillions of people who've accepted him as their personal Lord and Savior. Amen. All right. See you guys next week.